Future-Proof Extra from News Talk.
We've all had to make some changes over the past 15 months, but one of the ones that's really impacted pretty much everyone is avoiding people in the street or in the shop. We don't shake hands anymore, and it feels so unnatural to be bumping elbows. So what is that reflex of reaching out to shake someone's hand? Where does it come from? Is it cultural, or is it something deeper? Well, Ella Al-Shamahi is a National Geographic explorer, paleoanthropologist, and author of The Handshake, A Gripping History. She joins me now. Welcome to the program, Ella. How old is the handshake, do we know?
This is actually one of the reasons I wrote the book. If you are to believe most articles written out there, they talk about the handshake as being kind of medieval and being to show that you're not carrying a weapon. So the idea is obviously your right hand is your weapon's hand, the hand that your sword's in. And if you're shaking it and if you're kind of shaking it up and down, it's going to dislodge any weapon inside. So it's a sign that you're not carrying a weapon. And I did not buy any of that, partly because we know from archaeology that it's so much older. 8 BC in ancient Iraq, we have, a handshake on this incredible motif in the throne room of a king. It actually looks a bit like the handshakes that you see in the Rose Garden in the White House. But actually, in the book, argue the handshake is even older than that. I actually argue that the handshake is at least 7 million years old. And that's not a figure that I just kind of invented. It's because chimps shake hands. It's shocking to a lot of people, but it's actually incredible. Chimps and bonobos both shake hands. Dr. Kat Hobater, who's this incredible primatologist, actually showed that the chimp handshake has a very similar meaning to the human handshake. It has multiple meanings, but always positive. And she's got this brilliant footage of these two chimps going at each other in this fight. And then they sheepishly walk up to each other to kind of like shake hands to say, let's make up. And chimps are our closest living relatives, and our common ancestor, chimps and bonobos, existed about 7 million years ago. So I've basically gone out on a limb here in the book and argued that the handshake is at least 7 million years old, and that yes, the Neanderthals were probably also shaking hands.
Historically, is this a global thing? Like, have we been shaking hands in cultures all over the world?
Well, yeah. So initially when I was trying to work out how old this handshake was, one of the things I had to ask myself as an anthropologist was, okay, do uncontacted tribes shake hands? And the reason we ask that is because uncontacted tribes, they're modern humans. Jesus, they made it to 2021 just like the rest of us, right? But they have opted out of contact with the outside world. So therefore, any behavior that they have isn't because of, Google, or they saw a TV show, or because a missionary turned up. It's because it speaks possibly to the human condition. So that's why anthropologists really like looking at the behavior of uncontacted tribes. And obviously it has to be done responsibly and all that stuff. And that usually involves not contacting them at all, actually.
How do you observe uncontactable tribes?
One of the things that you do is you look at references to first contact historically. So you would never go out to contact a tribe right now unless they had kind of signaled that they wanted to be in contact or they needed help. You leave them alone, very much so. But what you do is you look at the history books of all the times that uncontacted tribes came into contact, and you hope it's voluntary. Sometimes it's really not, and it's kind of, obviously awful. And just so your listeners know, the reason why it's awful is not just because, people should be left alone. It's because uncontacted tribes have almost no immunities to a lot of the infectious diseases that are going around today. So what you actually then see is them being wiped out because of just things like the flu sometimes, or smallpox, or what have you. What I did was I asked if uncontacted tribes shake hands. And I kind of really tried to kind of find as many references as possible. I came across this wonderful one by David Attenborough, where he talks about a neighboring tribe refusing to go visit this other tribe with him because they were terrified of them and they thought they were cannibals. And it's actually got footage of it. They come rushing down the hill, kind of banging things with knives and swords. And David Attenborough just kind of puts out his hands and is like, "How do you do?" And they shake his hand, and it's really quite amusing footage.
Wow!
Now we presume they're uncontacted, but we don't know. So I had to look a bit further, and guess what? There are references. to tribes that were uncontacted, knowing what a handshake was. In fact, there's some really interesting work that suggests that two tribes in New Guinea who were uncontacted, the anthropologist visited them about 6 months after they were contacted, so it's still very fresh. And he inquired, and they said, no, we'd always shaken hands even before we made contact with the outside world.
That's so very interesting. So yeah, there's something in it. So what is it? What's the biology
for asking this question, because this is where it gets delicious, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of the science, because it gets kind of shocking. So people are like, okay, so, you know, we're shaking hands, the chips are shaking hands, it's symbolism, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, sure, I'm sure there's symbolism there as well. But there's something else going on. So a lot of us humans are acutely unaware of something called chemo signals or chemical signals. I think if you were to ask most of us how we communicate with each other as humans, they would say, it's language and sonnets and God knows what. Well, actually, we also like to smell each other, but we are very much unaware of it. So chemo signals, there are all these incredible experiments that they've done on chemo signals, where they basically put gauze under people's armpits. They got them to watch, you know, happy films or anxiety-inducing films or scary films. And they transferred that gauze to a different group of participants. And that other group of participants were accurately reflecting those emotions on their faces. In fact, there's one experiment where they did that with happy films. They bottled up the gauze, and they asked the participants which of these bottles smells most like happiness. And they were getting it right more than you would expect by chance. Like, it's weird.
And right. Wow, that does sound incredible.
But here's where if you recognize that we're not actually that exceptional as humans, that we are actually just animals, we haven't evolved our way out of being animals, it's not that surprising, because we know that animals in the animal kingdom do this, right? We know that they smell each other, you know, we know that. Yet for some reason we've assumed that we've stopped doing that, and actually it turns out no, we very much do still do that, and it's a form of communication. There's two additional points on this which are really interesting. Some people have argued that actually sometimes when there's a crowd and there's a massive change in emotion, sometimes you suddenly see a crowd get angry, or they suddenly get happy, or you know, what have you. They've argued that that's actually about chemical signals, which is a really interesting theory but slightly controversial. But the most important thing for us here is that handshakes are actually a really good vector for transferring chemical signals. So there are other experiments where they were actually able to show, the Wiseman Institute were actually able to show that when you shake hands, you transfer chemical signals. Not just that, using hidden cameras, they showed that you are more likely after a handshake to raise your hand to your face and effectively take a sniff than if you greet each other with like a wave or something. And that is shocking. I remember reading that and just think, oh my God. And then I have to remind myself as an evolutionary biologist, why am I so surprised? Mm. We like to think that we're prim and proper and, you know, we're special as humans, but we are just animals. But of course, I also just love it, because that gentlemanly handshake that's so proper and prim is actually a really good way of us just taking a good whiff of each other.
Which, you know, I heard about this is a few years ago. They got like 150 people or something. It was it was a good size of people, and they filmed them shaking hands with strangers. And then afterwards, they saw that a lot of people just put their hand up to their nose and take a sniff. They weren't even aware of it. Like, they asked people afterwards, like, "Do you remember?" It's a completely subconscious thing. So next time you shake hands with a stranger, see if you can catch yourself putting your hand towards your face. And you're right. I mean, like, it sounds bizarre, but of course we are mammals, and we take triggers from all different sort of places as well.
Yeah.
What about this? You know, as an anthropologist, what about this social distancing then? What sort of effect do you think it's had on our ability to understand strangers, to get on in social environments? Do you think it's been bad for us on a psychological level?
I mean, I think it's worth saying that we do know that there are cultures on this planet that don't shake hands and they don't have that much contact with strangers. You know, so if you look at parts of the Far East, there are cultures where the namaste, for example, is the way you greet each other, and you don't really hug someone unless they're close to you. So we know we can function without it. It may be in our DNA, as I argue in the book, but it doesn't mean, you know, it's like vegetarianism, right? Like, we know that we're meat eaters according to our biology, but it doesn't mean that all of us, you know, people are doing just fine being vegans, you know, forget vegetarian. So, but I would say that particularly with those that you're close to, social distancing is not what we are programmed for. So I think with strangers, you know, it's fine. We know we can probably get away with it. I think we're predisposed to it. So I think it will come back. And certainly in London, I've seen it already starting to come back.
Is there a psychology related to strong handshake and firm? Because it sounds like one of those things that social scientists must have spent a lot of time looking at. Like, what is the effect of a stern and strong handshake?
Yeah, and I have got real beef. I have to say I have real beef with this one. So I'm sure you're aware of the fact that a lot of etiquette coaches and a lot of just business leaders or kind of interview coaches will say, oh, the handshake is the most important thing that you can do in an interview. And I've just got beef with this just because I'm like, oh, really, the handshake is the most important thing in the interview, not, you know, having a good CV or just being, you know, personable. But I can't deny that there is a lot of evidence that people do rate firm handshakes. And that's slightly concerning to me as a woman. And there is a question as to why that is. Some people have asked whether it's possibly because it's an indicator of health. So we know that grip strength is used, you know, as an indicator of health anyway. And you can imagine perhaps, you know, you shake hands, kind of hunter-gatherers, you know, you want to know that the person you're with is also going to be a good hunter with you. In fact, there was one study where they looked into two hunter-gatherers to see if grip strength aligned with hunting ability. One tribe it did, one tribe it didn't. So it's kind of really inconclusive, but there is something going on there.
Wow, that's very specific. I knew there would be some research into this, but looking at grip strength to hunting ability in tribes is pretty.
It's kind of genius in some ways. Yeah, but. But I mean, I will say, you know, I will say just as a general thing, it's really important to remember. I write a how-to guide in the book, and it's very tongue in cheek, and it's completely based in science, but it's very tongue in cheek because I really just, I mean, I basically, you know, have so little time for etiquette coaches and you know, people that talk along these lines, because I do think they fundamentally misunderstood the purpose of the handshake. And I will say that, you know, I just think it's about getting in there politely and getting out of there politely. It's supposed to bookend something. And I remember one of my friends coming in to shake my hand. She shook my hand so firmly and it hurt, like it bloody hurt. And I looked at her and went, dude, that was really, and she was really proud of it. And guess what? I've barely spoken to her since. So I will say, just, you know, just be nice.
Well, the book is called The Handshake, A Gripping History, and it's full of lots of interesting anecdotes like that. Ella Al-Shamahi is the author. Ella, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.